The 24th chapter of Luke, we read of the day in which Christ rose from the dead. We read of that great morning in which the women came to the tomb. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. We then read of the two disciples journeying on the Emmaus Road, and how Jesus walked with them, and how they told him of the events in Jerusalem, of how Jesus had been crucified, of how the chief priests and rulers had condemned him to death and crucified him, and how the women had found that the grave, the tomb, was empty. And we read Christ's rebuke unto them, when he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Later in the chapter, we read of how the disciples were gathered in Jerusalem. And we read that as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit have not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. So we see here the events following Christ's death. He was taken by the Jews, the chief priests and rulers, who delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified. He was slain brutally upon a cross in fulfillment of all the promises of God. He was laid in the grave, dead. The soldiers found him dead. They pierced his side and out flowed blood and water. He was dead. They laid him in the grave. And on the third day, the women found the stone of the grave, which had been sealed and guarded. The stone was rolled away. Christ was not there. There were angels in the tomb. declaring, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" And Christ himself appeared to the disciples. He met them on the Emmaus Road, and he preached unto them from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He opened their understanding. He showed them from the word of God that these things were the fulfillment of what was written regarding him, that these things are true. And he meets them again in Jerusalem. And he opens their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He shows them all the things which were fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning him. Now turn to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. We've been considering the Psalms. And in the Psalms we've been considering and seeing the things concerning Jesus Christ. These Psalms written hundreds of years before his coming by King David in prophecy could not more clearly point unto this Saviour who came and died and suffered in the place of his people. Psalm 50, a psalm of David. The mighty God, even the Lord, have spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Now how true that is throughout all time, but how true and how fulfilled those words were on that day when Christ rose out of the tomb outside the city, Jerusalem, Zion. God in man, God as man, God the Son, Jesus Christ, was slain, was crucified, and he rose. And the mighty God, the Lord, spake. He spake in his death, he spake in his burial, he spake in his resurrection, he spake as he rose. And he spake to those disciples with whom he met on the Emmaus Road, in that room in Jerusalem, in Zion. He spake, he took the scriptures which spake of him and opened their understanding and shone forth light into their dark hearts. They'd lived with him, they'd walked with him, they'd fed with him, they knew him, they'd heard all that he had said would come to pass. And then at the very end, when these events came about, they still didn't see. Their hearts were blind, their hearts were darkened. You may have heard the gospel many times. You may know all about Christ and who he is and what he did. And still you can't see. You know the scriptures. You know what they say. But still the understanding is darkened. Yet he came unto these unbelieving, these foolish men who could not see if they wanted to, who could not comprehend, who could not make sense of the events in which they were passing, with which they were a part. They were a part of it. They were a part of the history. They were there in Jerusalem when the Son of God walked upon this earth, when the very Son of God, Jesus Christ, was crucified. They came to the tomb. The women came. Peter followed. The disciples heard. They were there when Christ rose from the dead. These two disciples walked to Emmaus and Jesus joined them and they couldn't see who he was. Christ himself walked with them and they didn't see because they were blind and they were dark. They were in darkness. They couldn't see what was going on. With the physical eyes they saw, but they understood not. Until Christ took the scriptures and showed himself unto them in every page of the scriptures. When he shone, when he spake by his spirit to their souls, and the light shone, and they saw, and the eyes opened. When he took the scriptures, the law, the prophets, the Psalms, and showed them all the things concerning himself, then they saw the mighty God, even the Lord hath spoken, and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof, out of Zion the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. On that day he shone unto those disciples. At Zion he shone his light in the gospel into their dark hearts. And at last, they who had seen physically but saw nothing, finally saw with the eyes of faith. They finally understood. They finally saw that this man Jesus, who stood before them, this one who was slain and had risen again, was indeed the mighty God, the Lord, who spake unto their souls. The very God who has called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. The gospel, in speech, in a knowledge of its facts, in its declaration unto this world, is not hid. It's not hid. The facts that Christ came into this world, the fact that he lived, that he died, that he was crucified, that he's the Son of God, that he declared himself to be the Son of God, equal with God, that he must come and he must suffer and he must die, that man's a sinner in need of redemption. And that the only way that God can redeem sinners who are guilty under his law is by offering a sacrifice in their place. The fact that God offered up his Son Jesus Christ as that sacrifice, that he bore the sins of his people, that he took the judgment, that he was pierced through with the sword of God's judgment, that the fires of God's wrath came down upon him, that he suffered upon the cross in their place, that he was the substitute, the sacrifice that God offered up for his people, that he died, that he was buried, and that he conquered death and rose again. Those facts and that truth have not been hidden. They're not hidden. You've heard it. You know it. And those truths have been declared throughout this world, to the four corners of this world, throughout generations, throughout time. Man cannot, on the final day, come before God, when God calls him to account, and say, I didn't know. God has declared these truths and these facts. You are without excuse before him. He has declared unto you, hear is my son, hear him. Hear him. Follow him. Believe him. Turn from your wicked ways. Repent and follow. He's declared the truth, but you will not believe. And you will not follow. You do not care by nature because you're in darkness. But the gospel has not been hid. The facts of it have not been hid. God hath shined out of Zion. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Every day that you wake up in the morning is not a day for you to work and labour for your gain. You're not here for that. Your heart isn't beating so that you can further your own ambitions. The reason you wake up alive in the morning is because God has given you a day in which he declares his truth unto you. And every day that passes in which you shut your ears unto that message, in which you choose never to pick up the scriptures and read them, in which you choose never to come unto God and thank him for all that he's done for you, in which you go about seeking your own ways, every day that passes, that you go to bed in the night following, not believing in God, is a day in which your guilt and condemnation increases. Whoever you are and wherever you are, God will hold you accountable, because from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof, the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken. Today, when the sun rose, when the sun in the heavens rose up over the horizon, God was speaking unto this world. He's speaking to Australia, he's speaking to Japan, he's speaking to Asia, he's speaking to Russia, he's speaking to Africa, he's speaking to Europe, he's speaking to the Americas, North and South, he's speaking to Antarctica, he's speaking to outer space. He's speaking, and the world shuts its ears and closes its eyes because it lies in darkness. But he's speaking. And every hour and every moment that goes by is a moment in which God is shining out of Zion, in which he's calling unto the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, and is saying in his gospel, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. But do you? The disciples were with him, and they didn't hear him. The disciples saw him with the physical eyes and didn't see him. The disciples lived with him and didn't know him. And you too, every day, God declares his gospel. He speaks in creation. He speaks in your conscience. He speaks in the word of God. He may speak unto you by sending a preacher with his gospel, and yet you do not see. But should the day come, as with the disciples on the Emmaus Road and in Jerusalem, when Jesus comes alongside and takes the scriptures and declares unto you from the scriptures all the things concerning himself, from the law, the prophets and the Psalms, and opens your understanding, then you will hear the mighty God, even the Lord, speak by his Spirit to your soul. And then out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine into the darkness of your heart and make it to see. Has he done that to you? Gospel's not hid. God has shined out of Zion. He has called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. But not only in time. Not only is this a message regarding the passing of each day, the rising of the sun, the setting of the sun, day after day, day after day. But this is also a message regarding that day in which the women came early to the tomb. That day in which the Son rose from the grave. It's not just every day, but from the rising of the Son of righteousness, the Son of God. From the rising of the Son of God, when he rose from the dead, God speaks and says, "This is my Son who died, who rose again, who conquered death, that all who believe on him, all in him, all for whom he died, all who are washed by his blood shall live and reign with him forevermore." From the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof, he's speaking, he's preaching his gospel. He has risen. He's up in the heights shining, and there fast approaches a day when he will come down again. He will return to this earth, and there will be no more speech. When he returns, the day in which you may hear will come to a close. He will come in judgment. And you've either heard his speech in those times when he was risen, or he will come down again and come down with fire and consume this world. The sun will come down and burn this world. And if you're still in darkness, if you're still running away, if you're still shutting your ears to that gospel, that day after day after day he's been declaring unto this world, then on that day you will burn. But today is a day of grace, a day of the gospel, another day in the passing of time when the Son of God, risen above, is declaring his gospel from the rising of this earthly sun until the going down thereof. He's declaring his gospel as the Son of God, the Son of righteousness on high. He's preaching and he's saying unto this world, this earth, here. He calls, he preaches, he shines forth his gospel. This world exists. It exists today because God is in the heavens preaching his gospel. That's the only reason you are here today. That's the only reason you woke up this morning. That's the only reason this world is in existence. That's the only reason the countries are in existence. That's the only reason the presidents and the leaders of the countries can get up in the morning, not to do what they want to do, but because God is preaching his gospel and God is using the events of time and history to further his kingdom. Then let the nations consider and hear. Psalmist goes on, "Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself." Selah. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. He's not silent. He's preaching unto this world every day, whether you can hear him or not. Every day you can look out your window. You can see the sun rising in the sky. And that's a message to you. God made it. He made it as it is to declare unto you, "This is a picture of my Son. I am light. I am the light of this world. There's a physical sun I shine upon this world to tell you about me. But your darkness is spiritual, and the light you need is spiritual light. Not just the light of this sun in the world." But he puts it there so you're without excuse. You might say, well, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home, or I never met any Christians when I was growing up. I never went to church. I never heard the gospel. I never ever read a Bible. I didn't know what a Bible was. So how was I to know? Because you're a created being, created by this God who sustains you and gives you life. And his very creation has the fingers of his handiwork upon it. In his creation, he says, I am God. Return unto me. In his creation, he has made you a thinking and a living being with a soul that's designed to worship and return thanksgiving unto the Creator. In his creation, in your being, he's given you a conscience to know there is right and there is wrong. To know that it's wrong to harm your neighbour. To know that it's wrong to kill and murder. To know that it's wrong to cheat and steal. And to know that there's a Creator who gives you all. Now, modern man in the Western world with his science has done everything he possibly can to thicken and to wrap a scarf, as it were, like a mummy's wrapped up all around the minds of the Western man so that he can't see what's in front of him. To try to explain away what is there and explain it away without reference to a Creator. But all men throughout all history, when they don't have this foolishness of man's foolish knowledge brought unto them, know that they are made by a God. And they know that there's a Creator to which they're accountable. You go unto any lost tribe and they've all got their ideas of who God is and what God is. They know there's a God. They might be wrong in their understanding of him, but they know there's a God. They know there's a spiritual realm. But foolish men try to argue it away. Yet they are without excuse. And God has not just given you creation and not just given you a conscience, but he's given you his word. He's preserved his word from the beginning of this world until this very day. Here's a history of everything. A history of the world from its beginnings. But more than just a history. Here's the book that says, I am God. Here's the book that says, here's my son. Behold my son, hear him. Here's the book that God has given the means to every man to seek out and to find and to read and to hear and to know. And you've heard. Don't, if you're listening to this message in person or in recording, don't turn around and say, well, how did I know? You're listening to a message from the Bible. You can find the Bible, you can read it, you can know. And if you don't, it's because you choose not to. You don't want to. Your fallen heart will not hear. But God shall not keep silence. And a fire shall devour before him, because this sun that has risen will burn. And when he comes again and descends again upon this earth, when time is no more, he shall devour. Then don't get on the wrong side of him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. He's coming in judgment. Well, where will his judgment find you? Are you righteous before a holy God? Can you stand before this God that devours with fire? Are you perfect before him? Have you worshipped him every day of your life? With all your heart, soul and strength, have you worshipped? If not, why not? He will judge you. Well, if he judges you, how will he judge you? How will you stand? If you know him not, you won't. You've not worshipped him. You've not loved him. You've not sought him. You've not walked in his ways. You're guilty of every charge laid against you. You never cared for his law, you never cared for his righteousness, you never cared for his ways, you never cared for his gospel, you never cared for his son, you never sought him. but his people will be judged, and his people will stand, because he sent his son, and his son suffered and died for them, and his son took their sin and bore their sin, and his son was burnt and devoured in their place. He came in judgment against his people and judged them in Christ. And they alone will stand. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, those that are with me. I've covenanted with them. They've covenanted with me. They've come by faith and said, there's our sacrifice. We haven't got a sacrifice we can offer. We can't do anything. We've no strength. But we believe in the sacrifice of God in Jesus Christ. Gather them. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness. For God is judge himself. Selah. He shall not keep silence. Even the heaven shall declare his righteousness. His righteousness. Where does he declare his righteousness? The heavens declare it. The heavens shine forth light. The sun shines. The stars shine. But where do they point you? They point you to the cross. They point you to that place from whence the sun arose. They point you to the fire of the sun, the burning fire, and the judgment of God against sin. They point you to the cross. The heavens shall declare his righteousness. They shall point you to Christ upon the cross. The sun and the moon and the stars. Oh, what truths are seen in these things that God has put in his firmament. The sun's a picture of the Son of God. The moon, a picture of his law and his testimony that reflects the light of the Son of God. It has no light in itself, but it reflects it. And even in the darkness, even at night when man sees the moon, there's a witness to him of the light of the sun and the stars as messengers of light to a dark world. Say, look, look unto Christ. Look unto his death. Look unto the cross. Look unto the Saviour's suffering for sinners. Look to the faith of Jesus Christ, who went and laid down his life, knowing that God would be true to his covenant, knowing that all that was promised from before the foundation of the world would be brought to pass. All that he died for, all those he loved, all those he chose, all those for whom he suffered and died, would with him pass through the rivers of death and would pass through the other side safely, rising with him on the third day. The heaven shall declare his righteousness. Are you righteous before a holy God? Have the heavens declared God's righteousness unto you? Have they said, look unto Christ, see the righteousness of God manifested in him, brought to light in his death, made known by his faith, seen in his suffering for you? Have you seen? Have they declared? Has he shone his light into your heart? Psalmist goes on, hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings that have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy fold. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. He declares unto them, and he declares unto you, don't bring your own offerings before me. Israel offered up bullocks and goats and lambs and all these things they offered. But they were all just a picture of the one offering sin for sin forever, Jesus Christ. He didn't need their bullocks. He didn't need their she-goats. They were all his already. They weren't theirs to offer. All he needed, all he desired from them, was thanksgiving for what he had given them. He'd already given them an offering. These offerings pointed to the offering that he offered up. These offerings pointed to the sacrifice that he provided. Then all they needed to offer was thanksgiving. They needed to offer nothing but to see and to be thankful for what he had already done. How do you approach unto God? How do you approach unto a God that will judge you? Are you seeking to make him happy with you? Are you seeking to appease his wrath and his anger? Are you seeking to come before him and to live and to do what you think will please him? Are you seeking to bring your offerings, your sacrifices? Are you sacrificing your time and your energy, trying to live before him righteously? Trying to please him by your own strength and your own works? He says, don't. I've offered a sacrifice. You can't please me by your time, by your energy, by your religion, by your works, by your will. You can't do it. And if you did do it, it's all mine. I gave you the life and the strength to do these things, just as I gave the bullocks and the cattle on the fields. If you do anything for me, I've made you to do it. You can't please God by your works. You'll please him only through Christ. Only through that sacrifice that he's already offered. Hear, my people. Hear, O my people. Hear. No one else will. No one else will hear. But they will. They will hear. And he says unto them, don't offer things. Don't bring your offerings, your works, your sacrifices, your will, your religion. Just bring thanksgiving. Because I've already offered a perfect and a complete sacrifice on your behalf. Hear this. O my people, hear this. Stop working. Hear this. The world won't hear. The religious world will keep on working. Keep on seeking to glory in self and hope that God will glory in them also. But my people will stop. They will cease to work. They will turn from their own glory. They will turn from their own will. They will turn from their own pride. And they will bow down and worship. And they will offer up thanksgiving. Hear this. It is done. He's offered up Christ. It's done. It's finished. It's complete. It is accomplished. The righteousness of God has been manifested, revealed in Jesus Christ. It's been wrought, declared at the cross by the faith of Jesus Christ through his death. It's done. It is finished. It's done. But unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldst take my covenant in thy mouth? seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. When thou sawest a thief, then thou contendest with him, and hast been partakers with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. He has a message to his people. He says to his people, you may rest. You may put down your tools. You may stop working. You can rest because I've offered my son for you. I love you. I knew that you could not save yourself, so I saved you. It's all complete. He has a message for his people, but he has another message for the wicked. Another message for the wicked. And if you won't hear the first message, hear this. What have you got to do with his ways? Oh, you religious that think you'll get to heaven through your works. What have you got to do with his ways and his covenant? When did he ever say unto you that these are yours? Are you presuming on the things of God? Do you think that you're saved when you've got no reason to believe it? Oh, you've come to the scriptures, you've read it. Somebody said unto you, accept Jesus, and you said, all right, I'll accept him. And you've started to come to the meetings, and you've started to live like this, and do this, and do that. You pray, you read, you do these good things, these good deeds. Oh, you're going to heaven. Are you? And yet you moan at times. You have your up days and your down days, and there's days when you feel cold and lost, and you say, but I'm so cold. I don't know anything. I don't know God. And inwardly, you know that God's never spoken to you. You put up the appearance. You go to the meeting. You put up this appearance before men. Oh, everybody says, oh, they're so wonderful. Have you heard their testimony? Have you heard this? Have you heard that? You've got an appearance and you can't go back on it. Man applauds you. You have such a standing in the church, such a standing in religion. But God never spake unto you, and you know it. What hast thou to do with my statutes, or that thou shouldst take my covenant in your mouth? God says. I never spake it to you, I never made it known unto you. Seeing as thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee, you say you serve me, but you never hear the truth from my lips. I send a preacher with the true gospel to you, and you say, oh, I'm not going that way. We like it like this in our church. We like this message in our place. We don't want to hear your message of depravity, of a fallen heart. We don't want to hear about hell that's everlasting. We don't want to hear about the judgment of God. We don't want to hear about election. We don't want to hear about a sovereign God. We want a loving God that leaves it to us to choose what to do. So you hate his instruction and you cast his words behind you. The true gospel, when he declares it, he sends it to you, and you cast it behind you. You hate his instruction, and yet you pretend to be a part of his covenant. When thou sawest a thief and contendest with him and hast been partaker with adulterers, you're wicked, and yet you pretend to be righteous. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue framest deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Oh, you find fault with everyone. You find fault with your brethren, your own family. You find fault with others in the church. Everyone's more guilty than you are. You're so much better than everyone. Somebody falls and, oh, I wouldn't have done that. Oh, I can't imagine how I could have done what they did. Oh, everyone else is worse than you. How wicked you are. And yet you take his words upon your lips and come before him and say you're part of his covenant when he never spake unto you. Thou sittest and speakest against your brother. You slander your mother's own son. Oh, how your brother is so much worse than you are. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence, God says. You've done these things day after day, week after week, year after year, and God let you do it. He sat in heaven silent. Every day he spake the gospel. You didn't hear. Every day he spake unto his people and said, rest in Christ. You never knew. Every day you multiplied your wickedness, your religious wickedness. You presumed that you were going to heaven, even though God never spake unto you. And you rejected that which you didn't like of his truth. And you found fault with everyone but yourself. And he was silent. And you thought all was well. You thought all was well. Because God didn't stop you. The years went by and God never stopped you. And people said how wonderful you are. Time went by and you thought you were going to glory. And God was silent. That's the worst thing that could happen to you. That God was silent when you sinned and when you went about doing things that you thought were in his service and you were guilty. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. I kept silence. Oh, what a trap this is for men. Because God keeps silence, they think they are free. People in the world go about doing all these things, all these wicked, evil things. And God doesn't strike them down and they think they're free. But he won't remain silent forever. To whom does he keep silent? He said earlier in verse 3 that he shall not keep silence. No, not to his people. He'll make them to hear. And he'll speak generally to the world in creation, in the word, so that they are without excuse. But there are others who he never speaks inwardly to. And they think they're free to live and do as they choose. And to worship him as they will. But he's silent. And they may not hear until it's too late. And when he speaks, it's in judgment. It's when he reproves them on the last day. And it's when he sets their things in order before their eyes and says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They come unto him and say, Lord, Lord, we did all these things in thy name. And he says, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Is God silent to you? Can you hear nothing? Oh, you hear the words. You hear me speaking. You may read the words on the pages of scripture. But do you hear God? Is he silent to you? Can you hear nothing? Can you see nothing? Do you understand nothing? Do you believe nothing of the truth regarding Jesus Christ? Is he silent to you? Do you cast his words behind you when the true gospel comes? Do you say, no, not that gospel. Not that Jesus. Not that religion. I don't want that. I'd rather go to this church or that church. I don't want that gospel. Do you cast his words behind you? Do you take his scriptures, his truth, his gospel and trample it underfoot? Do you hate his instruction? Do you ignore it, despise it, reject it? Is he silent to you whilst you do all these things? Every day the truth is preached. Every day he shines out as Zion. Every day from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. There's the truth. There's the instruction. And you ignore it. You despise it. You reject it. You trample it underfoot. And whilst you do all of that, he's silent to you. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Is he silent, or has he spoken? You that forget God, consider the day comes, or if he remains silent unto the end, he will tear you in pieces, and there will be none to deliver. It will be too late. You heard of Christ, you didn't want to know. God said, "Hear my son. Behold my son, you shut your eyes." God said, "Follow him," you ran another way. God said, "Here is truth," you said no. Is there none to deliver you? Have you forgotten God? Or has his light shone upon you? The mighty God, even the Lord, have spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Has his light shone unto you? Has his voice sounded out through the darkness, through the midst of time, out of eternity, through time unto you? Is there a still small voice of the Spirit of God that comes unto you into the darkness and says unto you, "Behold the Lamb of God. He is risen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Go and see. See my son. See his death. See his love for sinners." Has his voice sounded unto you? Have you heard him calling in the gospel? And has he caused you to offer praise unto him? If he has, he will show you the salvation of God. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. He speaks. He's called the earth from the rising of the sun. And he says every day, in the morning, early in the morning, the women came to the tomb and they found that my son was risen. He's risen indeed. Have you seen the salvation of God? Where will you see it? In Christ. In Christ alone, in Christ risen from the dead, in his righteousness, in his faith, in the faith of Jesus Christ, out of Zion, God have shined, as he shined unto you. See and believe that Christ is risen from the dead. Amen.